Tess Zion Schwat, Friday the 21st of January, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, Yaseres Hadibras.
Hi, good night of Shabbos. You'll see in front of you a sheet. The original sheet appeared in Hameir, which is a selection of the, not a selection, but a comprehensive list of the differences between the differences between Yaseres Hadibras in Parshas Yisro and those in Parshas Veshanan. On the back of the sheet you'll see it's been beautifully recreated. There's a story behind that, and this is that the way this started was there was a boy who misbehaved in school, and I set him the task for a punishment, which is not really a punishment because it's not a good idea to give a Torah things for a punishment, but it was a sort of task to prove himself that he should write out in detail every single difference between the two Dibras. Well, he did that. He quite enjoyed it, actually, rather than treating it as a punishment. And then about 20 years later, he was at Wad Shuas Night, he became a Rav, this gentleman. He became a Rav, a very, very interesting sort of Rav. And, you know, he's achieved quite a lot, but he prepared for Shuas Night the my sheet, which had been typed out. He prepared the what you see on the back in the most beautiful form so that people should enjoy their Shuas Night session, and he went through it with them. So this is the history behind the piece of paper which you've got. Now, before we start on the Dibras, you've got to understand that there are various problems even before this. We do not know for certain what Hashem said at the time. There's arguments as to whether Hashem said Zohar, did Hashem say Shomer, did he say both the Diborechot? But obviously the Medrash says he said Zohar, Shomer, and Diborechot. He said them both at once, which we can't do. But the question is, when the Luchos then came down, the Luchos clearly couldn't say Zohar, Shomer in the same spot. So did the Luchos have Zohar on them, or did they have Shomer on them? Well, we know there's Luchos Rishonis and Luchos Shneis, the two sets of luchas, and one assumes that the first set of luchas are those in Yisro, and the second set of luchas are those in Veshanan. But it's not quite as simple as that, because there's, in fact, a machlokas like this about most things, and the Rishonim suggests that both sets of luchas had the Aseres HaDibros. So the two luchas, one had one set of dibros and one set of dibros. Although here on your picture you'll probably find five on each side, there's a shita which actually says there were 10 on each side. The first dibros were on one side, and the other lucha had the other 10 dibros. It's a complete confusion as to exactly what happened. But what we know is that in the Torah that we've got, it came out this way. Now, in fact, there's a famous Gemara in Baba Kamma which says, once upon a time, Shor Rabbi Chanino ben Ogil es Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Meima b'dibros rishonis mo ne'ma b'hem tov. Why does the word tov not occur in the first dibros altogether? Or b'dibros acharonis ne'ma b'hem tov, and in the second dibros it does say tov. Omale, came the reply, Achata sho'aleni lomo ne'ma b'hem tov. Instead of asking me why it says one or the other, sho'aleni im ne'ma b'hem tov. I have no idea whether it says tov or not in which one. Why? What's it all about? So there's a Tosis in Baba Basra Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, which says, this is a proof that the Amorim weren't always Bekiyim Biksav. So if you don't know your whole Tanakh by heart, it's not the end of the world. The Amorim also didn't know the whole of the Tanakh by heart. And we assume that every Amorim knew absolutely everything Baal Peh. He says, Tosis is not so. They were maybe in Bekiyim and Tosha Baal Peh, but now and then they weren't completely Baki in Tosha Biksav. So he didn't know the difference. Some of them are Rishim go wild with his Tosus, Pnei Yeshua, and others say it's impossible that the Amorim must have known everything. So what's Pshat? So one of the interesting Pshatim is when the reply came, Adshet Hasholeni Lomo Ne'ma Bantov, what he says is really, he's not asking what's in the Torah. We know what's in the Torah, that's clear. It says, you just take the Sefer Torah out, you can see. His question is, what came down from heaven? Well, how did it start off? Was Tov there or not? I can't be so sure. Maybe, if there was a Tov there, maybe there wasn't, because we don't know how the Dibros came about. But Lemaisa, we know that we have two sets of dibros. We've got the dibros in Yisro and the dibros in Baschanan. As far as we're concerned, we can't look into the historical aspects. We can't know what happened at the Shas Matan exactly. What we do know and what we can see in front of us is that we've got two different sets of dibros, and we are saying some in we're saying 10 first ones in Yisro and the 10 which we assume are the second ones in Vayeshanan. Now if you look carefully, you'll see a lot of different differences between the two, and the question we're going to look at today is to see if we can find some system as to why that should be. Before we start, you'll see in the notes that there are actually differences in the number. We know, for example, that in Yisro there are 620 letters, Kaminyan Keser, which is well known, whereas in Vayeshanan, if you count up the total number of letters, you'll have 88 more. There are 708. Now, I haven't seen anybody who comments on that. However, what I have seen is the Baal HaTurim who comments that on the words in the first Dibros, you've got the number of words that you've got is 172, which is Kaminyan Akev, or Kaminyan Beka. If you remember at the time when Eliezer gave Rivka the Smidim, the Shnei Smidim, which are representing the two Luchas, and when you take the word Beka, Weda Beka, that's 172 words. It's a remez, that's what was going to happen. However, if you take the number of words in Vayeshanan, you'll find 189 words, which is 17 more, says the Baal HaTurim, as Poshet, Gematria Tov. We said that in the first Dibros there's no Tov. In the second Dibros there is Tov. And the Gemara goes on there in Baba Kam to explain the reason is because the first Dibros was smashed. The Chas V'Shalom Poska Tovim Yisrael. It'd be a terrible thing if the first Dibros got smashed, so they couldn't put the word Tov. You couldn't smash the word Tov up. But in the second Dibros, then there is the word Tov. Leman Yitzavlok, for example. And therefore, it is 17 more words, Gematria Tov, in the second Dibros. That's in the Baal HaTurim. But nobody explains the 88 letters. It's just struck me that 8 is a fascinating number. We all know that the significance of number 8 is Lamala Minateva. For example, there's a famous Ma'ashor Meirahim. The Gemara in Kedushin says there are 5,888 psukim in the Torah. We know we've only got 5845 psukim. That's a question of how to reconcile those 43 psukim. They're not so difficult. But there's another Gilsa in that Gemara which doesn't say 5888, it says 8888 psukim in the Torah. That's 3,000 psukim out. Now, there's no way you can say we're 3,000 psukim out. So some say it's just a misprint. Instead of the ches, it should have been hey, ches, or whatever the hey stands for. The hey got mixed up with the ches, which can happen very easily. That's what most Mefarshim explain. It says the Masha, no, you've got it wrong. The 8888 is not a number. The 888 is a significance. There were four olamas. Everyone knows, you know, Chayodam, the beginning, it tells you how the tefillah is divided into four sections, which is connected the four olamas. And these four olamas, each one has Lamala Minateva in it. Therefore, there were 8 times 8 and 8 and 8, 4 times. That's what the Gemara is telling us. Not that there are 8,888 Pesukim, but there's 8,888, meaning that each Chalek of the Torah is Lamala Minateva. That's what the Marshal says. So it could be that following that Marshal, that the fact that there are 88 extra letters in the second Dibros is also telling us that the second Dibros somehow or other was superior to the first Dibros. And that, we've got to understand why they were superior. Now, if you look through the Dibros, you see a lot of differences. For example, everybody knows in Shabbos, you've got Zohar and Shomer. And the differences are all set out. Some of the ones which are very striking is in the first Dibros, the no vov connecting the lo sinov, lo signov, lo sana, whereas in the second Dibros, all the and the and the. So the first Dibros don't have a connecting factor of the vov in those last Dibros, and the last ones do have it. And then you've got in the first Dibros, there's lo sachmo, there's no reference to sis aver bechlal, whereas in the second Dibros, you do have lo sachmo and lo sis aver. And there are all sorts of little differences like that, about the Soda being missed out in one place. If you go through it carefully, you haven't really got time to go through each and every one of them. But one thing does stick out, that in the first Dibros, the division between the third Dibra of Shvas Shav and Shabbos is divided by a psucho. That's represented by a pay on your sheet. Whereas in the second Dibros, the difference between the third and the fourth Dibros is a setumo, a samach, not a pay. And everybody knows there's a difference between a psucho and a stumo. Why should there be a psucho in Yisro, whereas at the same spot in Voschanan it's only a sedumah, which is less of a division? And you can even ask altogether, why on earth is there a division at that spot altogether? And all the other dibros is not a single division. You might have thought 10 dibros, 10 dibros, there should be a psucha between each one, or at least a stumah between each one. In fact, there's no division whatsoever between any of the dibros, all one, except between Shmuel Shav and Shabbos. So why should that be? Why should there be a division davka between Shavuot Shav and Shabbos and nowhere else in the Dibros, in either of them? Except there's a possibility, and there's a whole deal, in the second Dibros, some say there's a stumah in the last of the Dibros, but the probability it shouldn't be there, it's not entirely clear whether it is or it isn't there. That's a parasha b'fnei atzma.
Can I ask a question? When you keep on talking about type before, early on, you talked about type a number of times. You mean
the Gita Loch? Yeah, the Lashon Tov. It's more than that. There's no test in the first Dibros altogether, and yet there is a test twice in the second Dibros. In the first Dibros, it doesn't say Zroah Netuya, and it doesn't say Leman Yitav, and in the second Dibros, it says Zroah Netuya and Leman Yitav. You've got test twice, and you've got the Lashon of Tov Leman Yitav, which is an expression of Tov. None of that occurs in the first Dibros. That's what the Gemara is referring to. Now we come to another conundrum, which we're going to hopefully be able to answer. This puzzles a lot of people. We know that the Messiah at the end of Yisro says that there are 70, how many?
Two.
75 or 72, which does the Messiah say? How much? The Messiah says 72. Now, any person does his Shnayim Rikvecha Targum, when he gets to 72, he knows he's only reached Mafter. He hasn't reached the end yet. There are 75 Pesukim at the count. That's well known. Of the Messiah says 72, but if you count them up, Posik by Posik, it's 75. And it's very difficult to say that we weren't Boki in Pesukim, because we're talking at the time of the Messiah. The Messiah was already well after the time of the Gemara, when the Seder of the Torah was already established. So that can't be the answer. So the answer which is normally given is very simple. There's a difference between Tam Elyon and Tam Tachton. Tam Tachton is the way we read it at home, as we say the Pesukim. Tam Elyon is the way most people lane it in Tzibur. There are places which don't lane it but Tzibur, Tam Elyon, except on Shavuos. So during the year they're laying it the normal way, that from Posik by Posik. But on Shavuos, when they're saying the Dibros, they say the Tam Elyon. But our Minog, as far as I've seen, I haven't seen it done anywhere else than any other way. In the Tzibur, when the Shleach Tzibur lanes it, he lanes B'Tam Elyon. What's the basic difference between Tam Elyon and Tam Tachon is this? Tam Elyon has 10 Dibros. Each Dibur is sung as a separate Dibur. And for example, Loi Tirtzach, stop. That's it. That's a Dibur. Lightenough. However, when we lay it at home, it's all one posuk. And similarly, at the beginning in Shabbos, when the Chazan lays Tam Elyon, it's all one posuk. Zochus Yom Shabbos, it's with a poserim and notes which mechaber the whole of the dibur. It becomes one posuk. Whereas if we say Tam Tachton, we say that a separate psukim. Now, if you do it that way, you'll find the Tam Elyon will have 10 psukim. That's pretty obvious it's going to be 10 psukim because of 10 dibros. However, Tam Tachton has 13 psukim. Because if you're laying it posik by posik, it's true that Losizah is enough, it's only one posik, so you lose a few there. However, you compensate by all the extra psukim you've got in the first two dibros and in Shabbos in particular. So if you count them up, you'll see there are 13 psukim. 13 take away 10 is 3. That's fine. There you are, you have your answer. 72 is time Elyon. That's what the Masorah is talking about. And we have 75, which is time Tachlin. That's what everybody knows, and it's a perfect intelligible. And when you come to Boaz Chanan, what's the Masorah? The Masorah says 118 psukim. And if you count them up, you go 122 psukim. That's four out. Ah, you can't answer it the same way as you've answered Yisro, because you're one out. In Yisro we said there's 10 for Tam Elyon and 13 for Tam Tachton. So why should there be a difference in Rosh Hashanah? How can there possibly be 10 for 14? There's still the same 13 psukim. I can assure you there are 122 psukim in our Chumash. So where did they get the 118 from? It must be, there's no other possible explanation except there are only 9 Dibros in Voice Chanan. Because you've got to be 4 out. So why should there be 9 Dibros in Voice Chanan and 10 Dibros in Yisro? It doesn't make sense. It's the same Dibros. Ah, is it the same Dibros? This is the question. It's not quite the same. What was the basic difference between the two? Well, the Kliyakar gives us a Mahalach. He says like this. We all know the famous Medrash that the first Dibros in Yisro were offered to conquer Olam Kulo. They went round to each of the nations and offered. They went to Esav and Yishmael and they asked them, would you like it? They asked each one. One said, ah, it says, lo Sitzach, it's not for me. The other one says, it's lo Signo, not for me. They went to Ammon and Moab. They said, what's in it? Ah, it says, lo Sinof, it's not for me. And everybody knows the famous joke. They went to the Englishman during the 3-day week and they asked them, would you like the Torah? And he says, sorry, it's not for me. Well, it says in it, it's on Tav, you've got to work for 6 days a week. We can't do that. So therefore, they also rejected the Torah. That's a sort of an apocryphal addition to the Medrash. Everybody knows that particular joke. There's also a famous Lubavitch joke which is not for public consumption as well. I'm sure you all know that one too. Afterwards. No. So anyhow, the point was it had to be available for the nations. When they went round to all the nations, each one rejected. But if you offer somebody something, it's got to be something that they can possibly accept. You don't offer somebody, would you like to have a nuclear bomb in your back garden? You don't ask them the question like that, because it's obvious. The Torah had to be something which is acceptable. Now, a goy has to understand what's going on with these Dibros. And all the goyim do. They all have the Ten Commandments. The Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, is a very high part, takes a very high position in non-Jewish thought and philosophy. They all accept it. However, there are certain things which have to be fitting with their temperament. So, for example, they understand that on Sunday, which is their Shabbos, that you go to wherever their Tiflo is, you get properly dressed, you have a little drink, you have a sing-song, and you have a Kiddush, whatever you're going to do. But they would, not to go in the car, not to go put the switch the lights on, not to answer the telephone. That's not a Yom Tov, that's not a Shabbos, that's not a sabbatical, that's an upcomingness. That's something which we can't possibly even understand. So that's the pshat. Zohar is Kiddush, is the positive side of Shabbos, not any goy can understand. Shomer is not available for goy. They wouldn't understand. They tell a goy he's not allowed to do anything on Shabbos, he won't accept it. Therefore, the first Dibros have Zohar. And we come to the second Dibros, you see, Shoma. Secondly, a goy understands you mustn't kill. A goy understands that you mustn't steal. That's Versteter. However, to tell a goy that you shouldn't slam the car at night because you might disturb somebody, and that's Geneva. Or that if you take somebody's covered away by, for example, you falsely tell the Gabbai that you're a Chiv, and somebody else loses his Shlishi, and you take his Shlishi in his place on false pretenses, then that's Geneva. But God wouldn't say, that's not Geneva, it's just not being plain, not being too moral. Oh, but the Gabbai does say it's Geneva. If you waste somebody's time, it's Geneva Sazman. I was looking for Baba Kama just now up there, and I spent probably 15 seconds looking for it. It's not there. I had to go to another place to find Baba Kama over here. If somebody had put the Baba Kama back there, I wouldn't have wasted my time. The person who didn't, I'm not accusing anybody, but if that person used the Baba Kama and failed to put it back, he's a ganef. Now, which guy can understand that as being Geneva? It's not Geneva. It's just sort of not being a very, very high Madrega. But the Gabri Yidden, a Geneva, is it's an old Geneva. And Geneva is also a form of Hariga. I've got a certain number of minutes in my life. If you take 15 seconds of my life away, you've killed 15 seconds of my life. Therefore, you not only are you a Ganev, you're also being Oedel Osirsach. You've been so we in Yisrael, each letter, each dibra is completely separate. But you didn't understand that the dibras are interconnected. There's not one without the other. So if you go through the dibras, you'll see there are differences between each one. We haven't got a lot of time, but do you want to go to the main point?
Isn't it a bit too strong to call somebody who doesn't put back the Gemara in his right place a Ganev?
Yes. Legabi, the highest Madrega, Zer Mensch, is a Ganev. People have got to understand that. If you do something which wastes somebody's time, or you block his car in from parking his car, it's true, it's not Geneva, you're not going to get Malkus for it, you don't have to have any monetary repayment. But Legabi, the mitzvah of Geneva, it is a form, as we didn't understand that's a form of Geneva. If somebody asks you, Shaila, and you say to is that a Meshuggah to ask such a Shaila? That's also for me, ganiving the person's covered from him. You've got to be respectful to people. And even if the person is asking a daft question, you don't have to say it's a daft question unless it's necessary. I mean, sometimes you have to tell somebody. But normal situation, what you do is you have to be a mensch. And if you're not a mensch, a normal mensch is a ganav, basically. And in that type of thing, you're taking away the man's covered. That's a very high madrega. And in fact, I have a theory that each, I mentioned this yesterday in the shir, that every single dibur represents its own number. One is unity as an Ocha Hashem. Two is duality, which is the Avodah Zorah. Three is telling the truth, which is chizuk. We discussed this once a while back. It's chizuk, therefore, don't swear falsely. The only one which doesn't quite fit in perfectly, as the others all do, is number 8, Lo Signov. And my answer to that is that Lo Signov is Lamala Minateva. 8, is, we said before, 8 is Lamala Minateva. If you, I don't think there's a person in the whole world who can go through his life without doing something which has a Shemetz of Geneva in it. It's just impossible. And therefore that's the 8th of the Dibbers. It's a Dibber which is virtually impossible to keep, because it's such a demanding mitzvah. And therefore, it's number 8 of the Dibras, which represents the 8, which is the Malam and the Tev. That was a theory. Anyway, let's get back to the questions we asked. Why is there a division in the just between Shua Shav and Shabbos? I once saw in the Sefer HaParashas, it was very, very interesting. It's just like this. There is a difference between the Dibras, which have been Adam Lamokam and been Adam Lachaveri. We all know there's two sets that we have, 5 on one side and 5 on the other side. But a Goy, kennt das nicht verstehen, a Goy will not understand this properly. Because as far as he is concerned, Shabbos and Kibbud Av are logical mitzvahs. Honoring your parents is logical. Therefore, it goes together with the second Dibras. Shabbos, as far as a Goy is concerned, we said before, wasn't the Shabbos that we understand it. It's the Shabbos you've got to have a rest. You can't work 7 days a week. You've got to have a day off. You've got to have some time to relax. So therefore, really, it's a logical mix, which is Ben Adam Lechaveiro. Therefore, they put a division, both Dibras, both the first and the second, between Shabbos and Shuas Shav. The first year clearly Ben Adam Lamokom, and then the next 7 are really Ben Adam Lachaveiro. And as far as the Goy is concerned, there's no connection between the two. The Psucha is completely separated.
Goy is Simon.
No, that comes from Harmashon Sinek, more in the Dorim. Not the pay itself, the Torah, the gap in the Torah. We mention the letter pay as a symbol that is Pesucha, that's the gap in the Torah. But the gap in the Torah is from Har Sinai. Now, in the second Dibras, however, we're saying the second Dibras were not just for Goyim. And they were not for everybody, because the Goyim had rejected it. The second Dibras, which were given quietly, if you remember, they said the first Dibras was smashed as Rashi because they were given in public. They made a big fuss about it. The second Dibras, which were given but sneers, were Dafka for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, there were a lot of differences. They were given to where for Yidden who can understand these inyonim, we can understand Shmiras Shabbos, we can understand that all the different Dibras are interconnected one with the other, and that each one has an effect on the other, and all the other differences. For example, the first Dibra talks about Chemda. A Goy understands that he's not allowed to go and take something away from somebody else, or drive him potty till he gets it. That's what Chemda means. But Tisava means something different. According to Rashi, Chemda and Tisava are the same thing. But according to the Rambam, Taiva is different from Chemda. Taiva is in the mind. A Yid must not even think that somebody's got something that you want. That gentleman sitting there has got the most beautiful tie. I'm not allowed to even think, whoever it was, I'm not even allowed to think I'd like to have that tie. I'd like to have a tie similar to that. That I'm allowed to do. I can go to Marks and Spencer's and buy a tie similar to that. But I can't say I want your tie, because your tie is yours. Now, a guy wouldn't understand that. A guy knows that I can't go up to that gentleman, shake him by the head and say, I'll give you £100, so give it to me. That's Chemda. Yeah, you take it. Okay, but you can't do that. That's Chemda. And that's how the Goy understands that Losachma, but Lotis Ave, that I shouldn't even think in my mind that's got anything to do with me. That is only for a Yid. That's why Lotis Ave is in the second Dibros, but not in the first. And similarly with all the other Inyonim, you'll see, for example, in the case of Shabbos, in the first Dibros, it talks about my separation. It doesn't talk about Yitzis Mitzrayim, because the Goy's not interested in even going out of Egypt. Oh, but in the second Dibros, it talks about Yitzis Mitzrayim, because that's specially for the Yidden. Shabbos is to do with Yitzis Mitzrayim. So you see, all the differences are based on that particular ideology, that the first one had to be available for everybody, second not for only for Yidden. And that would explain that the Samach in the second one is a connecting factor. Whereas the Goyim make a pay between the two, we also understand that we have to show that this is different, and from then, therefore, we make a stumma, not a pesucha. If it left it out altogether, you might have said, well, it's just been left out. They put it in to show we recognize that there is a connection and a gap, but the gap is interconnected. The stumma connects to what's going before. That's why it changes from a pesucha in Yisro to the Samach and Daskana. Now, to finish off the final question, the rest of the questions are, you have to work through Keseda. But if you look at the number, we said before that there is a problem with the Masorah. The Masorah must mean that in Yisrael there are 13 psukim in the Tam Tachton, and that's the same in Yavos Chanan. They're still the same 13 psukim. The difference must be in the Tam Elyon. So we're saying in Yisrael there are 10 different Dibros. However, in Voras Chana, we've just proved there can't be 10 Dibros, there must be 9 Dibros, because otherwise how do you get before? What's happened here? And the answer is this. I saw this in the Ksav HaKabbalah, in the end of the Sefer, not in Parshas Yisro, a little Osofa, at the very end of the Sefer, he asks this question, as to what's going on, and he says, he found in a Taimani, whatever their Sefer Chumash is called, they, if you've ever been to a Taimani a minion, you'll see that they have the old way of saying the Chumash, and after they said the Pasuk, they say the Targum on the Pasuk. Now when it comes to our Seis HaDibros, they say the whole of the first Dibur, not just the first Pasuk, I know you can say the whole of the first Dibur, and then they say the Targum on the whole of the first Dibur, because they're following Tam Elyon. And so they go through each of the Dibros, translate it in Aramaic. The Maturgamon, like that in the time of the Gemara. They have a Maturgamon who says it, and then it's translated. So it's actually the fact that the United Synagogue might point to the page they're up to, or they don't know exactly where they're up to, has a makor from the Gemara that they used in the olden days. They actually used to translate the Chumash as they went through. However, when it came to Voas Chanan, he found that for some reason or other, they did not translate the first Pasuk on its own. They put the first two Dibros together, not just the first Dibro like in Yisrael. In the Voas Chanan, they had the first two Dibros put together and then they translated it. It's the Haraya that there was a Makor for saying that originally in Yisrael it's 10 Dibros, but in Voas Chanan there were only 9. But he doesn't explain why that should be. He just says that must be so. Now the explanation is simple. If you look at Rashi and Ramban on the second Dibur, you'll see a machlokus. Rashi holds lo yir lecho. We know already you're not allowed to have idols. So Rashi says it means you mustn't make idols. You're not allowed to make. It's tzelumim. You're not allowed to make idols. Fred the Rambam, the boss doesn't say lo sas, this is lo yilucho. In any case, making idols has got nothing to do with the aseres adibrus, which has got to be dealing with matters of chiyuv misa, very serious matters. Fred the Rambam, no, lo yilucho is the corona of anoichi Hashem. So you have a machlokus. Rashi says lo yilucho is a specific lav not to make idols. The Rambam says nothing to do with it, that's not the lav. The lav is that it should not be any thoughts in your mind contrary to Anochi Hashem. Anochi Hashem is the positive, Lo Yelecha is the negative. So you have a Rashi Ramban. I thought of suggesting like this. In Yisrael, the Pshat is like Rashi. If you learn like Rashi, it's two completely separate Dibras. One Dibras, Anochi Hashem, is a separate Dibra. You're not allowed to make idols. Fine, that's 10 Dibras. Masha'in came when we come to Voice Chanan. We're talking about Yidden. Yidden understand there's a deeper concept than Anochi Hashem. Not just you shouldn't make idols. That's a Goyish thing, you don't make idols, you don't bow down to them. But Yidden understand that Anochi Hashem encapsulates far more than just the positive side of Hashem. There's a negative side to it. The Lo Yelecha, you mustn't let any other thoughts enter your mind. That's what the Ramban's are. That Lo Yelecha means there shouldn't be any negative thoughts about Hashem, which really means it's equal and opposite. It's going together. So according to Ramban in Voice Chanan, the two Dibras are really one. And that's why we've only got 9 Dibras in Voice Chanan. So you've answered the question of why we've got 3 out in Yisrael and 4 out in Voice Chanan, all on that same Yisod. The Yisod is that in the first Dibras were given for everybody, available for everybody, and the second Dibras were purely and simply for Klal Yisrael. So when we say in davening v'chosu ben shmiras Shabbos, or when we say shomer v'zocher, the famous question, ah, it's the wrong way around, it should have been zocher v'shomer, or should it have been v'chosu ben zechiras Shabbos, why does it say shmir Shabbos? The answer is because a yid has to come to zocher through shomer. A goy can go straight to zocher, but a yid, the ikah for us is the shmiras Shabbos, which leads to the zechiras Shabbos. A zechiras Shabbos to have a good whiskey and a good schnapps and a kiddush on Shabbos morning is not the ultimate of Shabbos. The ultimate of Shabbos, you keep nizer on all the mitzvahs with the kavana of reaching zocher. I hope you all have a very good Shabbos.